Good Sunday morning. This is Dave and Linda, who is rushing to get to her spot in our studio, which is really our kitchen table.
Good morning. Yes, we have a professional studio.
Right. Well, the good news is I was at a music store yesterday, and we now have a advisor, and we're going to do something about our sound, though I don't think it's bad.
Yeah.
It will improve. Little by little, we'll actually maybe learn what we're doing.
Little by little.
Okay, so, you know, you look at the title on this and you go, huh? So I'll introduce our subject and explain the title first, and then we'll go from there. So don't own what ain't yours. And this relates to something that Linda is much better at than I am. I'm working on it.
I'm working on it, too.
She's trying to help me. And that is, in our current U.S. situation, we have people who are vehemently passionate about opinions and subjects, and that's a good thing. No matter what has happened, at least the American public is starting to pay attention to our political situations, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that being said, you can be in situations where the opposite persons do not agree with you. And in our current situation, because people are passionate, it can get a little heated.
Yeah.
I'll give you one example, and we'll get a laugh out of it, but it'll also be a good example. So one day I happened to come across something where somebody was saying, well, everybody in this group are rednecks that marry their cousins and are ignorant. And, of course, it offended me because I'm kind of in that group that they were talking about. And I was saying something to my friend at work. I said, I'm just really tired of people labeling me, just because I'm this, they think I'm redneck, marry my cousin and ignorant. And my friend said, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And we just kept right on talking. And about 5 minutes later, I looked at him and go, hey. And he just laughed because he was only kidding.
Well, you definitely didn't marry your cousin.
No, I did not marry my cousin. Thank you, Linda. In other words, I'm still redneck.
I didn't say that.
He didn't either, but I got the message. So anyway, I say that because that's a perfect example of don't try to own something that isn't yours.
Yeah.
If it's not true about you, ignore it.
Yeah.
Don't own it. Don't, just let it go.
Yeah.
Because first of all, if you get into the result of either side, if you're guilty, you think about it. If the other's guilty, they need to think about it. And that is, in all these discussions, you got to learn to listen. I have to learn to listen, to try to take my prejudices, because I have them, and my opinions and my beliefs, and set them aside long enough to really hear the other person. And we're not going to get into politics detail today. We're going to talk about the situation, but not the topic, because I'm not brave enough. And let me just say, we know whereof we speak,
yeah,
because Linda and I are quite opposing opinions and views in much of this.
Yeah.
And we've learned to live with it. Barely.
Yes, we have.
No, we have learned to live with it. But, we're both, I'm passionate, she's passionate, I have my beliefs, she has her beliefs, and you know what, she's not wrong, and neither am I.
No, it's just, it's your belief, and you follow that belief system, and it doesn't, and I have to say this to myself when I see things or hear things or read things that, sometimes you can't get it always be so emotional. Sometimes you have to pick your battles, basically, is what I'm saying. Because sometimes you do need to have emotional response, because I think apathy is also a place where you don't do anything about what's right and what's good, and you retreat. And that's not good either. So I think that, but in this climate of where we are in America, you have to kind of pick what battle is yours. Because really, when you read the media, listen to the news, you'd be battling all the time, and you'd be in a state of anger or flux or whatever all the time if you took all of that in. So, you know, I think for us as spiritual beings, as Christians, that should be our guidepost. Because more than being a liberal or Democrat or whatever you choose to be, independent or whatever, if you have that connection to God, then you're first His child. So to me, that's what I have to come back to when I, you know, and sometimes I have to remove myself from the label, because really what I am is a thinking individual. So I'm not dedicated to any party. I'm dedicated to who I feel will represent the right, the good, and the just. That's who I'm dedicated to.
There's silence here because I have a smart remark. I'm not going to get it.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. You do what we are. I am going to make a smart remark, but I'm going to apply it to myself and to everybody else. We all want to find the people who agree with us. And
right.
That's who, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, frankly. That's why it's called a republic. We need to find our representatives, and that's who we try to vote for and follow and support. Those that agree as much as possible, because nobody agrees with me totally, but, you know, and vote your conscience and vote your support and so on. Like I said, one of the good things I am happy about is people aren't on the fence anymore.
No, people aren't. I mean, for me, I'm just saying for me. I'm trying to get away from any label. I'm this.
Yeah,
I'm
that. Wish we could.
I don't want to be in that category. So for me, it's like, because really all kind of there is some good and some bad in all the parties.
Right.
And I'm really trying to get to the point where I'm not dedicated to your party. I'm dedicated to, are you going to do the right thing? Or I'm going to try to get the person as close as I feel to that. Are you going to be just to everyone? Are you going to treat people like human beings? It's going to be those kind of things that I'm going to try to stick with. And it kind of keeps me in a place, I'm trying to be in a place where that is the category.
Right. Yeah, I truly want, and I'm trying to be, independent. And this started more than a year ago when I realized how prejudiced I was because of labels. And I think we're all guilty of that.
Yes.
You know, this is what this group has always been. This is what that group's always been.
Or my family has always done this or whatever.
Right. And I have a theory, and some people agree with it and some don't. Most don't. Is that the average American citizen, regardless of the label, is a lot closer in beliefs than anybody wants to admit. You know, it's just that beliefs are all clouded and couched and mediaized, I think I just made up a new word, to stir the pot. Now, I'm glad the pot's been stirred. Don't misunderstand. I'm glad the American people have said, we're going to pay attention and we're going to get involved if only in it with our vote. I'm tickled pink.
I just want the American public to be thinking individuals.
Right. But here's the problem, at least in my mind, is that what we see and hear about is not really the average. I believe what we see and hear about or is what the media does to sell airtime and blog time and whatever. So I feel like it's sensationalized on both sides, on all sides. Whereas the average guy, the average Joe, my first name is Joe, so I fit, isn't nearly as goofy and crazy and radical as what we, and I say radical, doesn't mean they're wrong, is what we hear and read and see. That's my opinion.
And my opinion is different.
Yeah, a lot, many people are.
Yeah, and I do believe that there is a lot of truth to what you're saying. I will say that. I believe that there is a lot of truth. But I also believe there's a lot of people that in this climate today that really they're showing their heart.
Oh, I won't argue about that.
I do believe that there are a lot of average Joes out there who, you know, but there are also some people that feel like in this climate they are showing who they really are.
They feel more freer than ever to express their views.
But really, and at the base of that is fear, fear of change.
I won't argue that either. I won't. You know, let's address the elephant in the room, as I like to say. Linda is black. She's African American. I am about as white as white comes. I'm changing every day. I'm morphing into what I hope is a better, more balanced point. But what I would encourage people to do is in their thinking, and I'm encouraging Linda and Linda's encouraging me, is if you only get one side and that's all you ever listen to, then you're not getting the whole story.
Well, and I do say that each side of the table is the one side. So I do seek other. If there's something I really feel like I should really be
researching,
and I'm going to be honest, yes, I am, and I'm very concerned about certain things, like how people are treated and what's happening, and I'm concerned about young black males because I have stepsons and stuff like that. I'm going to be honest. This is who I am. I'm very concerned about how their treatment and those kind of things. So I didn't always do this, but before I really form any type of opinion, I try to research more than, you know, two or three sources on situations. But sometimes when you research those sources, it still comes down to the bottom line of what it is. So then I have to, you know, in dealing with stuff that makes you passionate and can cause a lot of turmoil and basically in yourself, but sometimes that turmoil is righteous indignation in that sometimes it's causing you to go to action. And sometimes, like, we can be passive and, hey, this isn't my battle, but sometimes you have to take a stand.
Well, I didn't want to get into the details. Again, all I'm suggesting is do your homework and make sure the homework is as balanced as you can make it be.
I believe that, but I have to. There are certain things that you don't want to get into the details, but certain things that I have to take a stand on, and I have to be able to say, this isn't right.
Right.
This is how I feel about that. That's one of the things I feel like I have to take a stand on. But in taking that stand, I have to research to make sure that I have as best I can the facts that I can. Then I have to pick and choose my battle. Emotionally, you cannot fight every battle. So sometimes you have to pick and choose the battles you choose.
Well, you have a full-time job.
Yeah.
Plus, I have a full-time job plus, and we don't have time to research everything out there. So like you said, you have to pick. As a normal, regular American citizens working and raising families and whatever, you have to kind of pick the ones you really, because it takes time to be informed, and it takes time. Again, here's another piece to this is I no longer, and I'll have to be honest, listen to anybody who begins to be ugly on either side. If they're name calling, if they're derogatory, if they're unprofessional, you know, then I don't listen to them. You know, I discard that as much as I can, and I don't go to those sources any longer. I try to find the reasonable people who are simply and clearly, stating facts and opinions, and cause you to think.
And I'm pretty much the same way. I don't try to use that as a source as somebody who starts off as very derogatory or, you know, cause the one thing that we have to be in all of that is, I said that, is be thinking individuals. And we cannot be ignited just by anger or all of that. So we do have to be thinking individuals. And then I have to go back to, as spiritual beings, we're here to be God's advocates, to be the righteous on the earth realm. So we have to ask ourselves, is it right? Is it good? Is this what Jesus or God would do? So if all of those, am I treating somebody like a human being, or am I already coming out with a preconceived idea about somebody? And I feel like we have another calling besides being a citizen of the United States. We have a higher calling, and that is we are God's representatives. We are his hands and feet on the earth, his hand feet, his mouthpiece on the earth realm. So we have to me, answer that calling first, and then the calling that you feel, whatever way you go, that's your second calling. So if you, at the end of the day, whatever your stance, can say, this is right, this is good, I'm treating people as individuals, as human beings, regardless of their skin color or whatever, or gender or any of those things, am I treating somebody like a human being?
I am very fortunate in that I live in Nashville, Tennessee. Not only do I live in Nashville, Tennessee, I work at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I love the Vanderbilt community. But let me tell you, the Vanderbilt community, per se, and I, are not always on the same page in political opinions and ideas. I'm just going to say, it's a relatively liberal viewpoint. But that's good for me. And the reason I'm sharing this is I want to encourage our listeners. I go to lectures that I know are going to be opposite pretty much of what I think are going to be. And I'll go and I will listen, because Vanderbilt is great about presenting their views and the views of others. But they don't usually, have speakers that I agree with. But that's okay, because I learn. And I go, you know what? This person has a point. Hadn't thought about it that way. Hadn't considered this. I can see where they're coming from. And though it may not change my opinion, it definitely influences my attitude toward them. When I can hear someone present something in a clear, convincing fashion. So I would encourage folks, go listen to the other side, and don't go with a chip on your shoulder. And certainly, I would never go to cause a problem.
The first thing, because if you're going to, and that's on either side, if you're going to go to cause a problem, then why go?
Stay home.
Yeah, stay home, because you can keep all that energy at home. But if you're going to educate yourself to really hear what the other side is, pretty much that's it. To be a thinking individual, we all in America as citizens need to be thinking individuals, thinking past whatever somebody taught you that may have been wrong, thinking individuals with your own mind, not for what has been passed down or what you thought you heard, but really be a thinking individual.
Okay, I'm going to lead you into a question, because I want you to talk about this, because you pointed it out to me more clearly than anybody. I think I kind of knew it, but I really hadn't thought about it. It was what you call groupthink. Can you talk to that?
Well, groupthink is, and these are Linda's words and terms, and you can look this up, but it is, you know, we all have grown up in a certain way with a certain group of individuals in certain society, and you think like them. And so you act like them, and maybe it's because your mom and your dad taught you and their grandmother and their talk, and you stayed in this certain, you went to a certain church, you stayed in a certain side of town, and this is kind of like how everybody that you knew, you grew up, the people around you, everybody kind of thought the same way. So it's groupthink. but it may not always be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at some point in your life, you have to be a person that, is this right?
Right.
And that's on both sides. I'll use myself, you know, being in the Nation of Islam, there was a point where I grew up around the people, I was with them, I worshiped with them.
You were a leader.
And I was a leader,
right.
and by proxy, but it wasn't like everything, and I'm not saying that everything that they taught was wrong, just like everything our parents taught us was not wrong. A lot of it was really good. But sometimes they taught us prejudices. Sometimes they taught us biases.
And this is where the groupthink gets dangerous.
Right.
They taught them as fact.
Right, when they were
and
not.
And if you were part of that group, you were expected to accept it as fact. And that's what we're talking
and
about.
And act on it as fact. And it's not necessarily all your parents. It's your peers.
Oh, it's your community.
It's your community. It's that section of society that you align yourself with. And so when you come apart from that, when you come out of groupthink and start thinking as an individual, there are some costs to that, you know?
Oh, yeah, it can be very painful.
It can be a separation sometimes on some basic things that maybe everybody said, oh, you don't feel that way, what's going on? Or it's not laughing at the joke that used to be very prejudiced and racial and stuff like that, or it's taking a stand little by little. It's kind of a little bit separating from those things that are not right. I mean, some things are good in a group, in a society that are good.
It takes courage.
It takes a lot of courage.
And you thought, you know, we started off, and you started off with remember who you are first.
Mm-hmm.
We are children of God. My first opinion mm-hmm. should be God's opinion, you know, not my own, not somebody else's, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I should be seeking and weighing each and every situation against God's opinion, whether it's in the Bible or whether it's just attitude. But, you know, when you talk about courage, man, let's use Jesus as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who said to the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, no, that's not okay. No, that's not right. That was courage, and he was crucified for it.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to take the risk and the consequences of maybe being the lone voice in a group of 10 or 5 or 3 that says, no, I don't agree, and here's why. You know? But don't just disagree because your group disagrees, and don't just voice and spout and prolificate, big word, the group think, you know, without thinking. And unfortunately, that is also, to me, as much as I'm happy to see the American public wake up and say, hey, we have a responsibility and we're going to get involved, I'm very frustrated with the American public just following blindly leaders of their group. And I have to watch this myself. And Linda knows exactly what I'm talking about. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to take the lesser of two evils. We don't like either choice.
Yeah.
You know? And frankly, that's where I am a lot nowadays.
Well, and I just feel like, you know, if you feel like you did what you had with what you had to do with, that's okay. I just feel like even with the group thing, the thing is that we have to be thinking individuals. And that is one of the keys to how you set yourself apart from the America is becoming very frustrated with our political system, which can cause anger and stress and grief and all of those things. So we have to separate ourselves from all of that negativity and come from a higher viewpoint and a higher standpoint because of who we are, which are children of God. And so a lot of times that is, one, pick and choose your battles, and know who you are, and who you are is really a child of God. Before any political system, before any societal obligations that you feel you have, you are his child and his representative on the earth realm. So you make your decisions out of those definitions of who you really are.
This has helped me a lot. And when I'm really feeling the frustration, the irritation, whatever, anxiety, whatever, I have to stop and go, wait a minute. I'm a child of God. And I believe God is in control. I believe, you know, he can change whatever he wants to change whenever he wants to change it. And regardless of what he chooses to do, I'm his son. I'm going to be okay. I am going to be okay. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses. And, you know, I'm not Pollyanna about stuff, you know. And I do believe I have a responsibility to try to influence in whatever way I can to the good. But ultimately, I'm a child of faith as well. And that faith is in God, not in this government, you know, not in my job, whatever, first and foremost. And I think that grounds me. And so a lot of times what has happened for me is when I'm feeling really, I just stop and say, you know what, I'm going to set this to the side for a couple of days or a week, whatever time it takes for me to get re-cooled, and then I'll come back to it. Because being upset isn't the way I want to be. Being clear, being committed at times, once I've decided and made sure I have meditated and thought about it, know what my commitment is, and done my research and done my homework, is I have a responsibility to do that from time to time as well. We have a responsibility to be honest. What I have to do is, am I being honest? Am I being honest with Linda? Am I being honest with the person across the table from me? And am I being honest with myself?
And I do feel like we have to, you have to do some self-reflecting sometimes, and then you have to take a deep breath and step away. We cannot afford to have emotional responses.
No.
Because emotional responses are not thinking responses. They get you in trouble. So I feel like you have to step away from the heat and the whatever frustration of an emotional response into.
And this is all sad, and we
yes.
see it every day.
And you have to have Christ-like, heartfelt, loving responses. And sometimes you have to get yourself in a place where you can do that, because then you're going to make the responses that whatever side you're on, it's going to be a more heartfelt and loving response, because that is really who we are. We as a group, even with that, we're Christians sometimes, people are looking at us like, really? And that's real Christian, right?
Yeah, really.
I said it myself. I look at people sometimes and I'm like, oh, wow.
You're representing what group?
What group are you representing? Yeah.
It's your language, your attitude.
Right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. Don't reflect well.
No, and know who you really represent. That is who you have to make the decisions of your responses to. Not saying you can't verbalize anything you have to say, but, you know, check yourself, I guess we say.
It is so frustrating to me that we're still not communicating with each other in a fair way. You see it in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing this show this morning and trying to be as fair as we can possibly be, and we have the advantage of we really are different. So
yes.
It helps us be
yes.
fair. You know, we really, Linda and I politically, or I won't say we're absolute. It's interesting. We've talked about this. our goals, our desires are the same.
Mm-hmm.
We just have very different opinions on how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that gets lost in all the rhetoric and name calling, and I got to make my point. In our society, is we're not as far apart as people, as everybody thinks we are, and as many our leaders want us to believe we are, because it furthers their careers and their pockets. In other words, let's just take one example. I want everybody in the, and we're not going to go to the details. We're just talking about what we want. I want every person in the United States to have good health coverage. Well, guess what? So does Linda. Now, how we get there, we disagree on. But the desire is the same. And I think there's a lot of us on both sides of the fence who want the same thing. But we get so whatever that we can't see that. And that frustrates them terribly. Because I just don't think we're that far apart. But that's my opinion. And you agree or not agree.
Well, and I do feel like there are some people, ultimately, the goal of what they want and what they want to see in America is the same. But I also recognize, because I meet them, that there are some people that is not true.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying this is 100%.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you run into those people and you sense and feel them, you know they're there.
And they want their agenda and their agenda only, and period. And those are the ones that frustrate me the most, because that's not fair. You know, as much as I love my agenda, as much as I think it's right, somebody's on the other side who's just as smart, who's just as loving, maybe more than me, who feels just the opposite. And I've got to go, wait a minute, I respect this person. I know they're intelligent. This is not stupid. This is not ignorant. But if they have a serious, we are really don't agree. I need to find out why we don't agree, because maybe I'm wrong.
And sometimes I feel like there are certain people that is not worth the effort to find the commonality. There are some people that you can have a conversation with, and you can be on opposite ends of the spectrum, but you can have a decent conversation with that patient.
I'm glad you brought this up. Keep going.
Yeah, and so that is a person that you would really want to talk to. But there are some people that are so passionate that they cannot even have a conversation, and it is not worth the energy.
You're wasting your energy
to even
and
go
so
there with that
I'm
person.
Glad you brought that up. So I would encourage me, you, and our listeners, when you run across these people, you let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go. Because if you confront them, they're not going to hear you. You may end up in a situation you really didn't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, possibly even dangerous. I mean, there's some nuts out there.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yes.
You know, walk away or just be quiet.
And then there's
I don't waste my breath with those folks.
And I don't either. I don't waste that energy that I can apply to something more positive, to getting something done. The other thing, that there are certain settings that, as a professional, I just don't go there sometimes, and we have to talk about that. Like, there with your friends, your family, and in certain agendas that you're in, it's very appropriate to discuss your political views. There are certain settings that it is just not appropriate for you to discuss your political views.
Amen. It is not. We've had some conversations at my work. I'm close to the team that
and
I work with.
You know.
And I will do the general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am so frustrated
mm-hmm.
that I feel like people aren't listening,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something like that. But I won't go into the details. I won't espouse a particular, you know, opinion or view, because that's not the place. As you said, that's not the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty outnumbered most of the time. Well, not really. In my little group, I think we're pretty fair, actually.
Yeah, but I feel like at the workplace, for me with clients or whatever, it is not appropriate for me to discuss my political views with other people. So you have to, like, choose your settings for what is appropriate for you to discuss that. And you have to pick and choose. Go back to pick and choose your battles.
Again, I would encourage you. There are places you can go to voice your opinion. There are groups. There are meetups. There are organizations.
Social media.
Social media. Be nice. I would encourage you to be nice. But, you know, if you're passionate, go get involved. Watch out for groupthink. You know, if you choose to join, you know, a certain group, know that that group is thinking a certain way and is going to try to influence everybody they can to think the same way. That's not altogether bad. Just pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. I mean, there's some groups, no way. I'm not joining that group because they're too radical, if that's the right word. They don't think they are, but I do. You know, so on and so on.
And we haven't said that, but pray about it. Because pray about the climate of the country. Pray about peace. I mean, and you pick what, I'm not telling you what to pray about, but prayer for us is a prayer for your leadership in the government. That is something that we are called to do, to stand in the gap. Pray for the people in our country, all people, that we could come together as a people of the United States and see people as people.
I recently, again, you know, not trying to espouse anything, but I recently listened to a TED Talk, and I posted it. I don't know if you recall, but it was a Muslim lady who was in this country in 9/11, and it was like, wow. It was eye-opening. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is not right. It's not right that this person who loves America, who loves the United States, obviously, true citizen, had to walk in fear and still is to some degree. We got to think about that. I have to think about that. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, I lived that, too.
Yeah. You know that.
Yes. Where?
You know, I was talking to a new friend at work. I have to be very careful. Let's just say, totally different cultural background, another country, et cetera, et cetera. And we had this wonderful conversation about a week ago, and we agreed to this. You teach me, I'll teach you. And I thought, yeah, no, that's the way it should be. You help me understand your culture, and I'll help you understand mine. And together, we'll grow together. But one of the things I said to him is, and I would encourage people to do this too, I've deliberately started exposing myself to other cultures. There's here in town, there's a theater complex that shows a lot of Middle Eastern movies. And I will go to watch these movies because I want to get a feel. Now, they're movies, but they're still, they give you the feel. And here's what I said to him. And he looked at me and goes, yeah. I said, mothers are mothers, fathers are fathers, children are children. I don't see that. That is universal. And when I go see these movies, I go, okay. Yeah, I got to remember this. I got to remember. This isn't just a demographic number on some statistical whatever. These are people who love their families, who love. Now, I may not agree with their country's whatever way of government, but behind that government and behind that, you know, that you see are people.
And that's
mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and uncles and nephews. And
just like in this country, there are people in certain countries that may not agree with their government either. They may not just have the ability to voice that. You know, we forget that too, that there are people who do not agree with their country stands.
But
it's
they're,
a lot
they're
of things that I don't,
have no opportunity.
Right. We just can be more vocal about it. There's a lot of things with this country, though I'm from it. You couldn't judge me on that because there's a lot of things that I disagree with my country on.
No.
Yes. So, you know, we have to think about that. Just because
and
somebody is from a certain country.
Constituents out there who may be some much more like me, and I'll give you a quick profile. Raised in Southeast Alabama, raised in a very conservative Protestant denomination, which was major, major part of our lives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I am growing. And I am taking that. And some things I've had to unlearn, and some things I've had to reapply, you know, and so on and so on. And I just encourage you to keep thinking.
Asking God. Yeah, I just, and, you know, kind of getting away from any label. What I am is a human being and a child of God.
There's one label I want.
Yeah.
It's Christian.
And I want to keep that. I'm the child of the Most High. That's pretty much the label, because labels are what get us into the problem in the first place.
Absolutely.
So I'm a human being with a thinking mind and a loving heart. And I would like to say I was always that, but I wasn't. But then I met God, and He's training me to be a human being, loving other human beings with my own thinking mind that comes, a mind that is set in Christ.
Right. Yep. So, yeah, you know, I'm going to go back to the title, and we're going to go over some really basic things. Don't own what ain't yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a situation and people have labeled the group you kind of identify with, but it's not true of you, let it go.
Don't own that.
Don't own it. Don't take it on and all the other stuff that goes with that,
mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, if you're conversing or interacting with someone who just is not listening in return,
mm-hmm.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go. And it may be that you can't walk away, but you can sure just be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not ready.
They're not, and it's not worth the energy. And separate yourself from the emotional response.
Yeah.
Do not be connected to an emotional response.
Right.
Be connected to a thoughtful, loving, heart-centered
response. Because then you become personally loving.
Yes. Yes.
Not that I would ever do that.
Yeah, me. Yeah, I would. But listen, and then that's the other thing. Listen, because sometimes before you can make your point, before you have to make a point, before you have to counterpoint, listen.
Yeah, because be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be fair. You want them to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to listen to them. Also, and then finally, you know, not finally, but another point is the groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful about groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go a certain direction just because it's this or that, or it's that group or this group. And that goes both ways. Don't oppose just because, you know, don't assume. And I'm working hard on that. My mindset needs a lot. Still needs some work. But I'm trying. Don't listen to sources that are mean,
mm-hmm.
and ugly,
mm-hmm.
and nasty and aren't fair. You know, turn them off. Go somewhere else. Find another source.
Yeah, you know? I agree with that.
Linda and I are consistently asking each other, well, maybe not consistently, but occasionally, what are you listening to? In fact, I just said that. I said, what are you listening to? What, you know, tell me, you know, send me your links and whatever, because I think I need to listen. And because otherwise, I'm not being open-minded. I'm not being fair. If all I'm getting is one side of a story, then that's not okay.
And prayer. You know, we have to stay connected to our source of everything, and including our source of consciousness of who we are. You have to stay connected to God, because that He's going to guide you and lead you through the Holy Spirit to what is right, what is good. And your behavior should reflect that you have this connection with this source.
You know, I want people to look at me and go, man, he must be a Christian, or he must be God, you know, he must love God.
Right.
You know, well, you know, that convicts me. Well, I think there have been times when that hasn't been true and hasn't looked like it was true. And I'm working on that. And I want to say this, folks, it's not easy.
No, it is not. And it's, you know, I have to sometimes stop in the middle of a sentence or whatever I'm about to say. And sometimes I get quiet. Because I'm like, God, is this what you want me to say? Is this how you want me to act? What do you want of me in this situation? Because a lot of times he just wants me to be quiet.
Well, my point was, the groupthink is easy.
Mm-hmm.
The just go with your normal crowd, fit in, everybody likes you, nobody's upset with you, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Just do the same thing you've been doing all your life, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's easy. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It's, you don't have to examine your soul or anything else. But is that what you want? It's not what I want. I want right. I want holiness. I want to be unguilty, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, help me out.
And I think this is the difference, which is good that you and I could talk about that, because you did come from, and I came from a group too, but the group think in my group was that of a revolutionary.
Yeah, I know.
And so the group think was that. And so I never felt like it was going to be easy for me. Wow. I never felt like I could not stand up and say something about that. But that's because of the group
thing. Oh, I know what I wanted to say, because Linda has really helped me with that. I'm still just, you know, there are a lot of folks, and I'm the average. Mm-hmm. I'm the true average. We don't want change. We like it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
No? And then Linda goes, well, yeah, but if it stays that way, this is what happens to this group. Do you want that for them? Oh, I don't want it changed because it's good for me. Ow. And the Lord says I'm to love my neighbor as myself, and so I don't want change because I like status quo. It worked pretty darn good for me. But the status quo for many people sucks. What about them? And that's why I have to start going, Lord, I got to rethink this, because the status quo is wonderful for me, but for many in this country, the status quo is not okay.
Well, and that is how I feel. I live a good life. I really
do. Yeah, we do.
We live a very comfortable and very blessed life, but I have to know that I have nephews, I have cousins, I have family members. I have people I consider young men or young women that are not even my bloodline, but they're a part of what I feel like sometimes may not always be just, I feel like
they are suffering,
and I cannot, like, I can turn my head and be like, yeah, it's
Not my problem.
Not my problem. My life's pretty good.
I got a good car. I'm in a great house.
Too well. You know, and I could stay there and be very comfortable for that. But then sometimes I got to interact with my family. I got to interact with people in society.
And then you look and you almost feel guilty.
I do feel guilty. Yes, and I have to.
It's time for the American cause. And I believe this with all my heart, to make some sacrifices and to help those groups. Now, and I don't want to get into the politics.
We're not too far apart of this. I challenge us as American people, and I think it's wonderful for missionaries to go overseas and help people. I am not knocking that. I feel like it's wonderful. But America needs missionaries right now.
Well, what I want to say, what I was trying to say is I want to help those people, but it's going to take cultural changes for it to get better. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have their own whatever, ethnic, whatever, but a lot of times we got to figure out how to help them.
First part is they are you. They, when you say they are you. They are human beings, just like you. So that's the one thing, is not to separate yourself. They are us. We are all one. We are all God's children. So that's number one.
We'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, it is, but I just want to say that sometimes that's it. The first step is to start with the man in the mirror.
Well,
you know?
No, you're right. You have to identify, or you're never going to.
Right.
You're never going to feel what you need to feel to do something. And I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Really,
and I'm not going to go
there. That we cannot do anything about. You can feel helpless. Like, how can I do anything with all of this? This is a huge problem. You start with you.
Agreed.
You start being more loving. You start being more kind. You start seeing people as human beings and treating them such way. So if every person took on his own personal responsibility, not seeing them as they or what, but seeing as we are all one, we are children of the Most High, that's a start.
Okay. Yeah, I can't argue that. And I don't want to get into the into the weeds of this. I really don't. So we've tried to give you some tools this morning because they're the tools we need.
And we have to constantly
remind each other. And here's what's really funny, is we have to apply them with each other.
We do.
You know, and go, I won't go into detail. But just yesterday morning, Linda said, you know what? I'm just not going to say anything. and it was just because there was no reason to.
It wasn't.
We agreed to disagree. And she wasn't going to try to convince me anymore, and I wasn't going to try to convince her anymore. And we hugged each other later.
Of this is that what we're talking about, we're living.
It's real for us.
It's real for us because we are a microcosm of what is happening in America.
We really are.
And so as being a married couple of two different cultures, we have to live this every day.
And you know what saves us is God.
It is.
The fact that our relationship with the Lord is what keeps this marriage going.
Definitely. Amen.
You know, and I would love to see that filter down into the rest of our society where we all go, you know, we don't agree with this, but I know you love the Lord.
I know you love me.
Yeah, and that too. Yeah.
You know, so I guess that it all comes down to love.
Amen. I mean, you know. Well, unless you got something else, let's get ready to close. But I'm going to close with three thoughts, whatever it is. And I'm going to share what keeps Linda and I sane and keeps us on track. And it's so simple, guys. It is so simple. Jesus said it himself. when the disciples asked him, what are the greatest commandments? Mm. He said, and I may not quote it word for word in the King James, but it'll be close enough. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul.
Amen.
And the second is likened to the first, to love your neighbors as yourself. We try to filter everything through those two commandments. And it's hard to go wrong.
It's hard to go wrong. And believe it or not, sometimes that is a progress for all of us.
Yes.
But it's a role we have to put because that's what our Lord said for us to do.
Yeah. So you have to stop and go, boy, is this loving?
Yeah.
Nope. Do I care enough about this? Would I want to be treated this way? Would I want to be in this situation? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Because it says, as yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're learning every day, and thank God, literally, he keeps showing us and he keeps guiding us. And I like that path.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy path.
No.
But it is a great path.
It is a great. It's funny to say the path of love is not an easy path.
It's not.
Is that kind of.
It's scary.
It is.
Vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You put your heart out there. And sometimes it's accepted and sometimes it's stomped on. But you know what? Our way shower did the same thing. And talk about having a heart stepped on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's close that. Do you want to pray? Or would you like
to? I'll pray today. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to talk about you, to live our life for you, to be salt and light on the earth realm. We thank you for the opportunity to be your hands, your feet, your words, your heartbeat. And let us do that. And so it is. Amen.
Amen. Bye, folks. Have a great Sunday. See you next. Oh, darn, I almost forgot. Next Sunday, we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
It is, okay.
Michelle Tabaco.
Is the woo-woo kind of, I'm not picking on her.
No, let's not go there. Yeah,
it's Earth Day.
Don't label it.
And I believe in the Earth, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We have a guest. Yeah, I'm sorry, let me rephrase. We have a guest who wants to talk about Earth Day.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
So we'll see you next Sunday at same time, same bat channel.
That is good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.